Welcome to the Deep Dive, the show where we take your sources and figure out just what secrets they're hiding.
Today, we are opening up the history books for a legal case that, I'll admit, sounds incredibly dry at first.
Yeah, a single, seemingly mundane traffic accident case from 1936.
It really does sound like a footnote, doesn't it? But this case, Dallaire v. McAdoo, from the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, it's the foundation for a legal standard that affects every single one of us.
Every time you get in a car.
Every single time.
Exactly. So our mission today is to trace how this one collision, which was caused by a very, very worn out tire, ended up establishing a fundamental duty of care. It's really a story about how simple common sense becomes ironclad law.
It's the origin story for the legal phrase, ignorance is no excuse.
To really get the power of this ruling, you have to put yourself back in 1936.
Right. I mean, this was a time of huge transition. The car wasn't a novelty anymore. It was a mass market machine.
Highways were popping up. Speeds were getting higher.
And all of a sudden, the failure of one simple part, like a tire, could turn a two-ton vehicle into a, well, a deadly projectile.
Yeah.
The legal system was really scrambling to keep up with the technology.
In this case, Dallaire v. McAdoo, it gets right to the heart of it. Who is responsible when the equipment fails?
Because the defendant, McAdoo, he had already lost at the trial level. And he was appealing, basically arguing, hey, I didn't know my tire was about to blow, so it's not my fault.
And that question, what a driver should reasonably be expected to know, that is the absolute pivot point of this entire case.
It's everything.
Okay, so let's unpack the collision itself. The facts are, like you said, almost painfully ordinary.
It's so simple. McAdoo is driving. He decides to pass the other car, driven by Dallaire.
A standard passing maneuver. But then what happens?
As he's pulling alongside Dallaire, McAdoo's left rear tire blows out.
Now, we're not talking about a slow leak here.
No, this is a catastrophic failure. The kind that makes the car immediately swerve and become uncontrollable. He slams right into Dallaire's vehicle.
Causing injury, property damage, the whole nine yards. But Dallaire's legal argument, this is the really brilliant part.
It is. His lawyers didn't argue that McAdoo passed improperly.
No, their claim was that McAdoo was negligent just for being on the road in the first place, for operating a vehicle with a known defect, specifically that tire.
So the idea was that the dangerous machine itself made the entire act of driving negligent. It didn't matter how well he was steering.
And the jury, at the first trial, they completely bought it. They awarded the plaintiff, Dallaire, $7,500.
We have to pause on that number. $7,500 in 1936.
That's a lot of money.
It is not a fender bender payout. Mm-hmm. That's well over $150,000 in today's money. It just shows you how seriously the jury took this.
So the stakes were incredibly high. Now, procedurally, it gets a little complicated. The court did grant McAdoo a new trial.
But, and this is the key thing, only because they thought the amount was excessive. They didn't disagree with the finding of negligence.
Right. And they refused his motion for what's called a judgment N.OV.
And that refusal is why the case goes up to the Supreme Court. For anyone who isn't a lawyer, that motion, an N.OV, is basically the defendant's last-ditch effort.
It's them saying, look, even if everything the plaintiff claims is true, it still doesn't legally count as negligence. So, judge, you have to throw the jury's decision out.
McAdoo's lawyers were trying to create this huge legal loophole. They wanted the court to say that driving on a bald tire might be a bad idea, but it isn't legally negligent.
They were trying to make the tire's condition legally irrelevant.
Exactly. And the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania was having absolutely none of it.
Which brings us to the core legal principle they laid down.
It does. The Chief Justice, Kephart, he stated that anyone who owns a motor vehicle has to exercise care so they don't subject other people to an unreasonable risk of injury from its operation.
Okay, that sounds pretty simple. But how do they connect that abstract idea to a physical thing, like a tire? What makes a risk unreasonable?
Well, they're building on centuries of common law. This is why the opinion refers to something called the Restatement of Torts.
You can think of the restatement as like a guidebook, right? The Bible of established common sense law that scholars have put together.
That's a perfect way to put it. And the restatement holds that it is negligent to use any instrument, whether it's a tool or a machine, that the person using it knows or should know is defective.
I see. So the court is just applying that general rule of caution specifically to the automobile.
And they weren't starting from zero with cars. They'd already ruled that it was negligent to drive with, say, bad brakes or inadequate headlights.
Well, those were seen as essential safety parts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The big question here was whether tires, which, wear out and get replaced, fit into that same critical category.
And the court's reasoning for saying yes is just rooted in, well, everyday life, which is the beautiful part of this ruling.
It is. The court literally said it's common experience that the blowout of an automobile tire is a hazardous occurrence.
This wasn't some specialized expert knowledge. Everyone knew it.
Everyone knew it. They pointed out the known tendency to cause the vehicle to swerve and become unmanageable. Since that danger is common knowledge, you can't ignore it. That puts the tire firmly in the category of essential safety equipment.
So if you know that failure is dangerous, you have a duty to try and prevent that failure.
Precisely. And that leads the court right to the duty of inspection. They had to draw a really important line here.
What was the line?
They acknowledged that some blowouts are just unavoidable accidents. If you run over a big spike in the road, there's not much you can do.
That's just bad luck.
Right. But the blowout in this case wasn't from an external cause. It was from internal defects. It was from age and wear and tear.
Which is completely foreseeable.
And the evidence here was just devastating for McAdoo. You have to remember, on this kind of appeal, the court looks at all the facts in the light most favorable to the plaintiff.
So what did the witnesses actually say about the tire right after the crash?
It was damning. They basically described a tire that was a disaster waiting to happen. Witnesses said it was worn pretty well through.
And they could see the fabric, right? The threads inside the rubber.
Exactly. The entire protective tread was just gone. And then the repairman who came to change the tire, he gave the final piece of testimony.
What did he say?
He said he could see the breaker strip, which is the layer underneath the fabric. This wasn't a bald spot. The entire structure of the tire was visibly falling apart.
I mean, you don't need to be an engineer to know that if you can see the threads holding your tire together, you probably shouldn't be driving on it.
And that's exactly where the court delivers its final mandate. The rule they set is rigid. Responsibility follows when the problem would have been discovered by a reasonable inspection.
Let me make sure I'm following this. The court is saying that because witnesses could easily see the defect after the crash.
Then the driver, McAdoo, making a reasonable inspection before the crash, also would have seen it.
So his whole defense of, I didn't know, it just evaporates. It's legally irrelevant because he should have known.
The court's position was absolute on this. A tire worn through to the fabric is, quote, not in a condition for safe driving. That fact alone is enough for a finding of negligence. The burden is on you, the operator, to know the condition of your machine.
Okay, let's pivot now to what I think is the most fascinating part of this whole case. It's about how the law deals with common knowledge.
This was McAdoo's last stand, legally speaking.
His lawyers challenged the verdict by arguing that the plaintiff should have been forced to bring in expert testimony.
Yeah, they wanted tire engineers or mechanics to get on the stand and scientifically prove that a tire worn down to the fabric is dangerous.
And that sounds absurd, but it was a really smart legal strategy. Why did they do that?
Think about the implications. If you needed an expert witness to prove a bald tire is dangerous, it would make it almost impossible for a regular person to sue after an accident like this.
Because experts are expensive. It would create a system where only people with a lot of money could afford to seek justice for this kind of negligence.
Precisely. It would raise the bar for proof so high, it would basically give a free pass to every driver who ignored their car's maintenance. McAdoo's team was trying to use legal complexity to just nullify common sense.
And this is where the court's rejection is so powerful. This is the core takeaway for you listening. The court said no. No experts needed.
They stated flatly that this isn't a complex scientific matter. It's a matter where the ordinary man's experience is sufficient to enable him to make a sound judgment.
The court trusted that the jury, made up of regular people, could connect the dots without a PhD in rubber composition.
Right. If laymen can look at the effect, a shredded tire in a crash, and infer the cause, then expert testimony isn't just unnecessary, it's an inappropriate burden to place on the victim.
And they justified this common sense approach by pointing to the universal use of cars. I love this part. They noted there were over 1 million cars and trucks in Pennsylvania at the time.
The court was basically saying that when a machine becomes a part of everyone's daily life, a basic understanding of its safety becomes legally mandatory. You can't just plead ignorance about the most fundamental parts of a machine you use every day.
And then they drive the point home with this incredibly powerful analogy. They compare the worn tire to a loaded gun.
It's still cited today. The court said you don't need an expert to testify about the danger of pointing a loaded gun at someone.
You can't get away with it by saying, oh, I didn't know guns were dangerous. The danger is self-evident.
And by extension, driving on a tire worn through to the fabric presents a similar self-evident danger to the public. The risk is just too great to allow ignorance as a defense.
The court's conclusion is what makes this case so rigid, so powerful. They state, any ordinary individual knows that when a tire is worn through to the fabric, its further use is dangerous.
And then comes a line, the one that every driver is legally held to today.
An owner or operator cannot escape simply because he says he does not know. He must know.
The law demands that you know the condition of the parts of your car that can become dangerous, especially if a reasonable look would reveal the problem. If the evidence shows you could have seen it, the court will just assume you knew, and you will be held liable.
So what does this all mean for us? Dallaire v. McGiddu established that your duty of care is based on ascertainable knowledge. If a reasonable inspection, the kind of quick walk around anyone can do, would show a dangerous defect, you are legally assumed to know about it.
And the purpose of this rule is crystal clear: to protect everyone else on the road from what the court basically called instruments of destruction if they're not maintained.
This case is just a profound lesson in how the law uses common sense to create fundamental safety rules. It sidestepped the need for expensive experts in simple cases and put the responsibility squarely on the person behind the wheel.
You can't just outsource your safety responsibility and then claim you didn't know.
And now for a final thought for you to chew on, something that builds directly on this ruling. In 1936, a reasonable inspection was almost entirely visual. Can you see the fabric on the tire?
But today's cars are completely different.
Totally different. We have tire pressure monitoring systems. We have check engine lights. We have dozens of sensors and warning lights that are way more accurate than a visual check.
So if the 1936 court said, you must know what you can see with your own eyes,
what parts of modern car safety, the things that are knowable only through those onboard computers and warning lights, will future courts decide fall under that same rigid must-know rule?
When your check engine light comes on, the law clearly says you have to pay attention. But how quickly do you have to act? And what does that little light legally assume you now know about the complex problem under the hood?
It's a 1936 legal principle in a 2024 world.
Until the next deep dive, drive safely.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe go check those tires.